podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
From Autosport.com and Autosport Magazine, I'm Tom Howard, and this is the Autosport Podcast. It's Thursday the 6th of May, and on today's podcast, we'll be previewing the British Touring Car Championship and the FIA F3 Championship, which both kick off their 2021 campaigns this weekend. The BTCC heads to Thruxton for its season opener, while the FIA F3 Championship joins the Formula One paddock at the Spanish Grand Prix in Barcelona. Both championships are renowned for producing edge-of-the-seat racing, so we're looking forward to tackling some of the key issues looking ahead to the new season. The BTCC has been a hive of activity in the off-season, with a number of drivers switching teams and a number of teams changing guises. Arguably the biggest story of the off-season has seen Team Dynamics depart with Dan Kamish, a title contender for the last two seasons. The Honda squad has elected to bring back three-time BTCC champion Gordon Shedden alongside Dan Robottom in a move that has also seen team owner and touring car veteran Matt Neal step aside from driving duties. While we thought Kamish might be absent from the grid this weekend, he has actually secured a guest drive of BTC Racing this weekend. The Honda squad has drafted in Kamish to fill the vacant seat left by Michael Kreese, who departed the team last week. While BTC Racing has made it clear that Kamish's drive is a guest drive only this weekend, the team is evaluating its options to fill the vacant seat for the remainder of the season. Now we have covered what was a breaking story with Dan Kamish earlier this week, let's talk all things touring cars and preview the season with Marcus Simmons.
Let's look back at last year. A season like no other, Marcus. Just talk us through it.
Well, yeah, it was a season like no other. Firstly, because it began in August and everyone was wearing shorts, which we don't normally do at the first round of British Touring Car Championship, unless you're a mechanic and they wear shorts in any weather. It was a real gripper. Five drivers in title contention going into the final round, quickly boiled down to Ash Sutton against Colin Turkington. And both those guys were brilliant throughout the season, really. Turkington and West Surrey Racing just couldn't get the BMW working in the cold, wet conditions on the Brands Hatch Indy circuit. Infinity from Laser Tools Racing that Ash Sutton was driving was it's probably fair to say it was never as ideally perfect as the BMW was in certain conditions, but it seemed to be much more of a flexible car, and Sutton also excels in those kinds of changeable conditions, and it really swung towards him, and he won the championship brilliantly. Second time he's won the title, it was a really excellent season. Dan Kamish was brilliant in the Honda. Tom Ingram was in the Toyota, and Rory Butcher massively fast in the Ford Focus. And he admitted that he made probably a couple more mistakes than he would have liked to. But also bear in mind it was the first year for the Ford Focus as well, or the fourth generation ST version. And everybody there did a great job to keep it in title contention until the last round. Five drivers, five teams, five different models of car, really, really good racing throughout the season.
And just looking ahead now to this season, we've had probably the silliest of silly seasons for BTCC for quite a while. A number of the key contenders have moved around. Tom Ingram has left Speedworks to go to the Accelerate Motorsport Hyundai team. And we've obviously got no Matt Neal on the grid, which is a big, big surprise for everyone. Just talk us through the silly season, some of the biggest changes, and who have been the winners and losers.
I think the biggest one really is Dynamics. And you mentioned Matt Neal. Dan Kamish not being part of that lineup is arguably the biggest story for this season, because Matt was already weighing up towards the end of 2020 whether he was going to be in the driving seat or not this year. A lot happened behind the scenes at Dynamics over the winter to try and pull something together, because Honda pulled their official backing of the team. UASA, one of their main sponsors, who are associated with Honda, as far as I can understand, there's a little bit of shared ownership between those two companies, and they pulled out too, and Halford stayed on board. They've been probably the loyalist backer of Dynamics over the years, but the Shedden, Gordon Shedden, was lurking in the background, three-time British touring car champion. Unfortunately for Dan Kamish, it's just the horrible commercial realities at the moment that really really stuffed him, because he was supposed to be doing the second year of a two-year deal this year. The last couple of years he's looked a proper contender. There were moves at Dynamics to bring a backer in that could have kept Kamish on board, and possibly Matt Neal as well, but it would have needed a third entrance license for the team, and that's another long story, and whether we'll ever get to the bottom of everything I don't know, but the vague overview is that Toker, the series promoters, had that spare license but wanted to get the approval of the teams as to whether Dynamics would have it, and not enough of those teams said yes. So unfortunately they were in the situation where they could sign up Shedden for the season, but they really needed more commercial strength in the team, which is where Dan Rowbottom came in with his Cataclean backing. And Dan Rowbottom had a pretty tough first season in the BTCC in 2019 with Sicily Motorsport in the Mercedes. His Renault Clio record suggests that he's just as deserving of a drive in the BTCC as many of the others who came out of that series as well. And he's been doing quite well in testing, and I think he'll be a decent contender in it. Also, obviously, you've got the Jack Sears Trophy competition for drivers who've never scored an overall podium. Looking at the entry, I think Dan Rowbottom's a shoe-in for that, but I'm probably going to be wrong. But commercial considerations, that drove Tom Ingram to go to leave Speedworks and the Toyota team to join Accelerate Motorsports to drive the Hyundai. And that's all because Tom is his own brand as a racing driver. I hate using that word, but he's very much inspired by Jason Plato in building up his portfolio of sponsors that he takes with him into touring car racing. And because Speedworks were having a big rebrand for this year and moving more in line with the general Toyota livery and image, then his personal backers wouldn't get the space on the car that they're accustomed to. So he went off to Accelerate, took his engineer from Speedworks, Spencer Aldridge, with him. Obviously, then Speedworks were looking for a title contender, so Rory Butcher jumped over to them from Motorbase. Beyond that, the Motorbase situation deserves its own big story in itself because of the effective merger over the off season between them and AMD, who were racing as MB Motorsport last year, and that's brought Jake Hill into the team. So Ingram goes from Toyota to Hyundai, Butcher goes from Ford to Toyota, and Hill comes in from an old spec FK2 Civic to drive the Ford. So yeah, not quite a nice merry-go-round to get our teeth into over the winter. And then, of course, there was the return of Jason Plato as well with Power Max Racing in the Vauxhall Astra. And although it was always down as something that was going to happen in 2021, it did go very quiet for quite a while, especially by Jason Plato standards. So the team during the winter felt moved to put out a statement saying, yes, he is staying with us in 2021 and he's going to be... he's going to be on the grid. They've also brought a very capable driver into the fold in the second car, Dan Lloyd, who's a race winner of the past and has been successful in TCR Europe over the past couple of seasons. So a lot of chopping and changing, and you're probably going to remind me of someone I've forgotten to mention.
Well, I suppose I will. But you're right, there's been a lot of chopping and changing, and in many ways, six teams have combined together to create three teams, haven't they? Because there's been a lot of alliances between Laser Tools and Team Hard, Motorbase and Mark Blundell, and then we've got the Accelerate and Trade Price Cars scenario. So you've got a lot of teams sort of combining their resources. Is that because funding is pretty tight at the moment and people are having to do that?
There's a lot of entrance licenses have changed hands over the winter, that's for sure. Yeah, it's fair to say there is probably a commercial funding element that goes into it, but also a pensioning off of some of the old machinery that's been around for years. Like you mentioned the Trade Price Cars situation. So they came in 2019 with a couple of Audi S3s that were already getting long in the tooth and did a deal with AMD for AMD to run them for those two seasons. Come the end of 2020, you know, there's nothing left for them to give. So they've been pensioned off, and Trade Price Cars owners Dan Kirby and Andy Wilmot were talking to various teams in that eventually got together with Accelerate Motorsport for this season, and Accelerate acquired their entrance licenses. So similar story to the Audi S3s, the Volkswagen CCs, probably 7 or 8 years now, isn't it? You could just see on the track how outdated they'd become, and they were becoming a little bit unreliable as well. Jack Gough had a lot of problems last year, and so Team Hard took the decision to start a new build project with the Cupra Leon, and they've also they were also running the BMW 125 of Carl Bordley, and the 125 is also an old car, and that's been pensioned off as well. So Carl Bordley has taken his entrance license to Laser Tools, but with Team Hard people involved in running that car. So, so it's a real. Sometimes it's hard to see where we draw the lines between the various teams, and then the Motorbase AMD merger as well, where David Bartram decided that the time was right to sell the team that he'd founded, and Sean Hollenby, the AMD impresario, and Pete Osborne, father of Sam Osborne, who's been driving the AMD / MB Civic for a season, took over the team. But that's something you could probably tell me about, Tom, because you're very close to those guys, aren't you, at Motorbase?
Worked with those guys for a long time in the past, so it was obviously sad to see David bow out, because he's been such a character in the paddock. He's one of those guys that loves to have a laugh and a joke, and he sort of brightens the pit lane in a way with the way he carries on, but he's also a very serious competitor, so it was quite sad to sort of see him bow out. But for his team to win that last race at Brands Hatch, it was actually quite an emotional moment for the team. So let's talk of business end then. Who's in the mix for the title? And it looks like an absolutely cracking lineup for the title battle this year. We've got obviously Plato back in the mix. We've got Gordon Shedden back in there. There's obviously Sutton wants to defend his crown. Ingram will be up there, surely. Butcher will be there. And Turkington, let's not forget him. Four-time champion. Mr. Consistency does it normally without having to win too many races. So who's your money on?
The ironic thing is that Colin Turkington won more races than anyone last year and didn't win the championship, whereas 2 years before that, he won only one and took the title. But it's completely up in the air at the moment. We did have the media day test at Silverstone a couple of weeks ago on the national circuit, but it's so hard to read that because it's only a four-corner circuit. It's only a 57-second lap time. You don't know what weight people are running. You don't know how much fuel they've got in the car. Some people went out for a run on the soft tyres, which they're actually not racing at Silverstone this year. So most of the serious contenders, what we might term the serious title contenders, didn't bother testing on the softs at Silverstone because it's going to be the medium that they're racing on later in the season. You don't know, but even those who were running mediums, you don't know how new or old or brand new the tyres were that they were running. So the headline was Gordon Shedden had a blistering couple of short three-lap runs at the end of the day and went 0.2 quicker than anyone else, which is if you converted that to a normal length circuit, that would be over half a second clear of anybody, which is obviously immense. I spoke to Gordon last week about it, and he said, we were running normal weight success ballast, but we had a reasonably new set of tyres on, but not brand new.
I think it's going to be a cracking championship battle. I think we're really going to see one of the best for a long time. It should be really good. Just to mop up some of the other sort of stories in the paddock, obviously we've covered a few of them, but BTC Racing, obviously Michael Kreese has gone, so there's going to be a new face, potentially a new face there. And they've also brought in Jade Edwards, the first full-time female in the championship since 2007, I think. And we've also got Josh Cook. So there's a strong lineup there. And also with Sicily, who've got the WSR-built BMWs for Tom Chilton and Adam Morgan. So those two teams are definitely a couple to keep your eye on as well.
Josh Cook has been with BTC Racing for a while now. And if it hadn't been for a catastrophic start to the season as far as luck was concerned last year, then he would have been much further up the championship, and if there was any bad luck going, he was hoovering it up. He's very much led the team as far as pace was concerned, and he was very much contemporary of Ash Sutton's when they came into the BTCC together, and really you wouldn't have said Sutton was going to be the one and Cook wasn't going to be the one. It was, they were two really, really bright stars coming into the championship. He's suffered from lack of funding or lack of a benefactor or whatever that some of the other deserving drivers have had. And except BTC Racing, who have really stood by him and made it possible for him to compete in the championship. Interesting thing there is that they're two-year deal with Dynamics to sort of oversee, well, not oversee, but just I'm trying to think of the word. So their 2-year deal with Dynamics for cooperation across the with the Civic FK8 has now come to an end. So they've sort of gone it alone, and that includes on the engine side, because Neil Brown do the engines for the Honda Civic FK8, as well as the BMWs that West Surrey Racing and now Sicily are using. But BTC have gone to the Toker spec engine that the vast majority of the rest of the field use, which is obviously Swindon at the moment. Last year was Swindon before it switches to M Sport last year. Now, there's nothing wrong with that engine, because obviously it won the championship with Ash Sutton last year. So that'll be quite an interesting thing, because we've never seen the Swindon in the FK8 Civic before. And on as far as Sicily Motorsport are concerned, and that was quite a big story. It was probably one of the earlier off season silly season stories. And I mentioned earlier on the aged cars being finally put out to pasture at the end of their BTCC careers, but Sicily had been running the Mercedes A-Class since 2014, and Adam Morgan had been winning races most seasons with it. really, that car reached the end of its development, and Russell Morgan, Adam's father, the principal of the team, was in conjunction with Steve Farrell, the technical chief there. They decided, let's try and persuade West Surrey Racing to sell us a couple of their BMW 330i's. So that's what happened, and the knock-on effect of that, which is quite interesting, is that however hard Adam Morgan has tried over the last 7 years at the wheel of that Mercedes, he's either had no teammate or a teammate who hasn't had much experience alongside him. So Adam has never actually really known how good he is. The team have never really known how good he is, because there hasn't been any real barometer in the car. But with them running the BMW, that's persuaded a driver like Tom Chilton to sign up for the other seat. obviously, Tom's been around the touring car scene for almost two decades now. he's always capable of having a couple of wins in him during a season. And at last, Adam Morgan has the barometer that he hasn't had before. What is new for both of them is that they've never really had a BTCC season in a rear-wheel drive car. They've both got rear-wheel drive experience. I mean, if you remember back to the 2000s, Tom Chilton was racing LMP1 cars, and Adam Morgan has raced, he came through the Ginetta G55 Super Cup before he came into BTCC, and he's raced GT4 Mercedes machinery. And he actually started his car career in a Mark 1 Escort Mexico, which is about as rear-wheel drive as you can possibly get. But their rear-wheel drive, the particular rear-wheel drive experience that both of them have, isn't really relevant to a 2021 NGTC car. So that's going to take probably a bit of getting used to. But they both love the car, the BMW, and Adam Morgan's particularly confident with it. And it will be really interesting to see how they compare to the West Surrey cars. If they get anywhere near Colin Turkington, they're doing really well. And you've also got Tom Oliphant and Stephen Jelly in the West Surrey cars as well. And both of them are capable of notching up a win. They both have won in the last couple of years in the championship. So you've actually got five BMW drivers, with Sicily moving over to that car this year, who could actually win races this year.
What are you most looking forward to? I think from my end, there's so much to dig your teeth into. I'd love to see like Plato back up at the front and with locking horns with Shedden. That'd be great to watch. You've got obviously Ingram and the young lads, Butcher, trying to unseat Sutton as well with Turkington. There's a lot to look forward to. What are you looking forward to the most?
Well, what I'm looking forward to at the most at the moment is, I don't know if you can hear this howling wind outside, which is particularly unpleasant. But I've had a look at the weather forecast for Thruxton, and at the moment it says 19 or 20 degrees. So I'm quite looking forward to getting the shorts out and having a nice weekend in Hampshire. But yeah, I think it's going to be quite good fun. The only problem is that we've got such a long gap between the first round and the second. So, once it gets up to speed, I'm sure it's going to be just as unpredictable and mad as it usually is.
So, cards on the table, then. Who's going to do it? Who's going to win the title?
I'm going to make a stab at Shedden, but don't hold me to it.
Good stuff. Thanks very much, Marcus, for joining us to talk all things British Touring Car Championship. We're really looking forward to seeing that kick off at Thruxton and throughout the year. So thanks again, Marcus.
No worries. Thank you.
That was BTCC, and what a great championship that looks like it's going to be. And equally, the FIA Formula 3 Championship is going to be just as exciting. This championship, obviously, bespoke single-seaters. So all the cars are identical, and it's all really about the driver. So it does make this championship quite compelling to watch. Last year was a great title battle between really three drivers at the end there in Mugello, between Oscar Piastri, Teo Pourchaire and Logan Sargeant. And in the end, Piastri just did enough to win that title in Mugello in a cracking finale. We're looking like it's going to be very similar this year. So we've got Megan White, our Formula 3 reporter, to discuss all the stories and look ahead to the new season, which kicks off at the Spanish Grand Prix this weekend.
Exciting stuff, Tom. As you said, last season was really close, 4 points separating the top three by the showdown at Mugello. Yeah, stunning performance from Piastri. The top three were all really strong. Pourchaire, slow burner, but he was consistently strong towards the end of the season. Sargeant had come into last year off the back of a tough rookie year with Carlin and managed to fight his way into third. So he did amazingly well. Frederick Vesti as well, who ended the season in fourth, really ended the season on a high, and he's likely to be up there again this season.
Probably pertinent to say that Piastri and Pourchaire have graduated to Formula 2 now. So the only sort of remaining contenders from that group from last year are Vesti and Sargeant. Vesti's joined a different team this year, so he's gone from Prema to ART, and obviously we've got Sargeant there with Chirouz. So just talk us through who we think might be in the mix for this championship. It's always very difficult to predict because everyone is so close, but you'd have thought those two would be definitely contenders.
Vesti for sure. He's joined ART. He came fourth last year. I can see him doing incredibly well with that team. As his teammates, he's got Alex Smollier and Juan Manuel Correa as well. They're looking to be a really, really strong team this year. You got Victor Martins and Kyo Collette at MP Motorsport as well. Did incredibly well at testing. Martins topped both days in Barcelona and Collette, both of them in Austria. So looking really quick there as well. There are quite a few standout drivers. Sargeant, again, as you said, did well last year. He's now with Cheruz, so his chances might not be as strong as they were. I spoke to the ART team manager, Sebastian Philippe, and he said he thinks there's about five or six drivers competing for the title, but he declined to suggest who they might be. So it's a mystery, but I'd say he's looking at least of his two of his drivers being up there for that title fight.
Putting his cards close to his chest like a good team owner, I think. You'd be foolish to rule out Prema, certainly if you look at their history in this category, and certainly in Formula 2, they're always in the mix. And this year, obviously, they've got the Arthur Leclerc, Dennis Hauger, and Ollie Caldwell. So I guess those three, surely those three are going to be in the mix as well.
The team to beat in F3 in recent years. Robert Schwarzman got the title in 2019, Oscar Piastri last year. They didn't set the timesheets alight at testing. In Austria, Hauger was P2, great start. Caldwell P14 and Leclerc P24. And then in Spain, Hauger was P9, Caldwell P17, Leclerc P22. So not incredible performances in testing, but it's testing. So really the true colours will be shown this weekend. And as you said, they're the team to beat usually. So I can see a bit of a battle between them and ART, who had three drivers in the top 10 in testing at Barcelona, Vesti, Smollier and Correa. So I think there'll be a good tussle between those two teams. I mean, for the Prema's new drivers, Hauger, he's Red Bull Junior. He came 17th last year, but that was his first year in F3. So, you know, he's looking to make some progress. And Leclerc, he's moving up from Formula Regional. He came second in that last year. He's a Ferrari Drivers Academy member. You probably know his brother. So he's got high expectations on his shoulders. I think when any driver comes into a championship with a noted surname, they're going to have people looking at them. It'll be interesting to see how he does. He came fourth in ADAC F4 in 2019 as well. So he's a strong contender. And then Caldwell, it's his second year in F3 as well. Came 16th last year. And he came third in the Italian F4 in 2018 with Prema as well. So he knows the team. They've worked together and it looks like they've got a good shot. It's a young team. I mean, Hauger and Caldwell are 18 and Leclerc is 20. So give them a few races and they'll be right up there.
Also pertinent to note that Vesti's had quite an interesting off-season. Not only moving teams to ART, but he's now a Mercedes Formula One Junior, which is a huge accolade to have at that age, but also comes with a lot of pressure. After last season, obviously, he challenged for the title, didn't quite get it, but is it maybe a make or break year for him this year? Does he have to win the title if he wants to really be taken seriously for Formula One?
Now he's got that added attention that comes with being a Mercedes Junior, it is more pressure, but I think that he has a very good shot. He's clearly got a lot of drive and determination. I've spoken to both him and himself and Sebastian Philippe about where Frederick is going this season. You know, he's moved team. He's got a new challenge. And he's from speaking to him, you can see he's really ready to put in the work and get results. He said to me after the testing in Barcelona that he thinks that ART is the kind of team that, you know, get straight into work when you get there. And he really likes their work ethic. He also said that he puts more pressure on himself than anyone else puts on him. You know, I asked him about being a Mercedes Junior, the comparisons that come with that. You know, people have banded around next George Russell comparisons, which I think can be unhelpful. I don't think there's any point branding someone the next George Russell, you know, or anyone. I think you have to let them develop on their own. And, I think from speaking to him, it's really clear that he's the one who puts that pressure on himself. But also that having that Mercedes support will really boost his efforts and really help his development. And also that extra motivation as well, when you can look at the team around you who are helping you and see what they've achieved, that really gives you a boost in your confidence. So, yeah, I think he's got a really good shot. It's only his second year in F3. So let's see what he can do, I think.
I guess probably the story of the offseason is the return of Juan Manuel Correa. That is an incredible feat to just be back in a car racing again, let alone be in a championship like Formula 3. What a story that is. And just talk us through some of that. I mean, it's remarkable that he's even here.
It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. He was involved in that awful crash at Spa, in which we sadly lost Antoine Hubert. He was in a coma for 2 weeks. He's had extensive surgery and rehabilitation, and he's made, quite frankly, an astonishing recovery. You know, as you said, the fact that he is here and the fact that he is here and racing is incredible. I had a really good chat with him last week about how this has come about, really, and how he's ended up back in the car 18 months later. And he said it actually kind of, he'd formulated this plan about coming back before the anniversary of the race, the crash in August. And he met Sebastian Philippe at Spa, and they had a chat, and Philippe kind of assumed that he was talking about racing in 2022 rather than this year. But they arranged a meeting, and Correa turns up in his wheelchair with his leg in this metal cage, looking in no condition to be driving 5 months later, with all these medical files in his iPad, and basically just presents this whole thing to Philippe and says, look, I can do this if you can believe in me. And he did. He managed to convince him, and his contract was signed in December. And yeah, he said it has been a huge challenge, and it has been probably a bigger challenge than he was expecting. But his progress has also been incredible. He's got a lot of catching up to do. The testing that we've had, so 4 days of testing. I think he did one day of testing before that as well. But if you look at his times from the two rounds of testing we've had so far, he's been, you know, around 10th. So the fact that he's come back from that, got back in the car, got the seat at a team like ART, he's very determined. He's very passionate. And he said he's not expecting anything result-wise. You know, he's not saying, I want to be P5, P10, whatever. But he is welcoming the challenge of just being back in the car and competing alongside Smolyar and Vesti. He said they've got a really good team together. And Philippe said he's very happy with the way that Correa has been able to come back. He did think when they met in Paris that it was a bit of a big bet for them to kind of commit, and there were question marks around that. But that Juan Manuel has been working really, really hard all winter, and he can now drive the car just like any other driver would drive the car, which, considering everything that he's been through and all of the surgery he's had on his legs, is incredible. So I think he's played his chances down a bit, but I think he'll be up there. I think he'll be up there in the top 10 for sure.
Yeah, it's a great story. Just the fact that he's even racing again and just being as brave as he has been over these last 18 months, you know, obviously being confined to a wheelchair and everything. I think just sort of when he was talking after testing, he said the only sort of drama he had was it's quite hard to feel the brake, feel the pressure on the brake pedal with his leg, which is obviously going to be a situation you're going to have to overcome. But the fact that he's sort of talking about ways of trying to better that and get the most out of the car, it's just great to see.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, he was talking a bit more about his about some of the doctors he's had to go to, the rehabilitation stuff he's had to go through, and he said he was giving if he was told to see 15 doctors, he'd see 15 doctors. He was giving, you know, 100%, if not 150%, all the way through, just really trying to, you know, get himself back through that journey, which he said has been excruciating, long, painful, and mentally difficult. But the fact that he has battled through that really shows a strength of character that is what you need to succeed. And I could tell from speaking to him, but he said, you have to believe 100% and not think about what might happen. You know, his doctor's saying, he said to me when he had the meeting with Philippe in August, well, in September, if you'd have asked his doctor who'd followed his whole recovery, he would have said that there was about a 30% chance that he could actually do this with all the things that could go wrong. And he's now in that car ready to start the season this weekend. So I think he's done an absolutely incredible job. And I think even whatever results he gets, the fact that he has come back is absolutely phenomenal. And that's what matters, really.
Yeah, he's a role model, isn't he? He's a role model that transcends motorsport. And I think that's something that shouldn't go unnoticed. Like, the fact is that he's gone and done this just sort of proves to anyone else in that similar situation that you can achieve whatever you want to achieve. So I think it's pretty cool, and I wish him all the best, because I think he deserves it. I think he deserves a chance to shine again. The other factor that we should talk about with Formula 3 is we have a new weekend format for Formula 3 this year. Qualifying is particularly interesting because the top 10 from qualifying are reversed for race 1, and then the results of race 1 are reversed for race 2. And then the final race is the actual times set in qualifying sets the grid. Explaining that is quite challenging. On paper, it isn't as difficult as it sounds, thank God. But we've seen Formula 2 debut this format in Bahrain. It actually worked pretty well. There wasn't too much of a difficulty to get to grips with it. And some drivers were sort of worried that there would be some games being played to benefit themselves in races. We didn't see any of that. It's an interesting concept, but it should work in principle.
Yeah, I mean, you see the results of F2, and the drivers seem to take it pretty well. Dan Ticktum said he quite liked it so far. And Liam Lawson said that he liked the extra time on track. So it looks like it should work as well for F3 as it did for F2. I mean, in F3, a 7-round season with 3 races per weekend. So there'll be 21 races rather than 18, but only over 7 rounds. So whereas there were 9 race weekends in 11 weeks last year. So I think the drivers who I've spoken to are pretty happy that it's being spread out a little more this year. Obviously, because of COVID, it was difficult last year. But yeah, the way that the format's going to work in terms of Friday qualifying sets Sunday, reversed Friday qualifying sets Saturday, and Saturday race 1 sets Saturday race 2, I think it will work. It mixes the action up a bit. The races are all 40 minutes long. So yeah, I mean, it means that the teams who are competing in F2 and F3 can pool their resources. Now that F2 and F3 don't run on the same weekend, there were drivers looking at doing both, which is pretty incredible. It just makes it a bit easier for the teams who are doing both. And I think, the fact that it's slightly condensed with 3 races in each weekend will be good for the drivers. You know, the season kicks off this weekend, and we'll see how we get on, I think.
I guess then let's just look towards this weekend then. It's a track that's very familiar for a lot of drivers. What are you expecting? Are you expecting any surprises, or do you think the suspects that we've already mentioned are going to be the ones fighting it out at the top?
The only thing we can really compare it to so far is the testing that was done there. You know, as I said before, there were some really strong performances from the guys at MP Motorsport. So they might be up there. I think Vesti, as I said, usual suspects. And the Prema guys, I think we could see some good performances from them as well.
You mentioned MP Motorsport there. They've got 2 Alpine Academy drivers in their ranks. They look like they've got quite a little strong lineup there.
Victor Martins and Caio Collet are both in the Alpine Academy. Martins topped both days of testing in Barcelona, and Collet topped both in Austria. So very good form. No other team, you know, broke close to those. I think Martins set some really, really good times in Barcelona. He won Formula Renault last year, and he was second the year before against Piastri, our old friend. I think Victor Martins, again, it will take him a bit of time to get into the swing of things. He's a rookie, but I see no reason for him not to be fighting up there with times like he's set in testing. You know, I think he could do a great job. MP Motorsport came 6th in the standings last year. But with him and Collette, I think they could be a top 5 team at least. I spoke to Martins, and he said that he and Collette, who have been friends for quite a long time, being both in the Alpine Academy, he says that they'll be a strong team. You know, he said that there will be that rivalry, but he thinks that they can work really well together, and with their feedback, push, you know, really push that team to the top. And also Martins has got that added, he's feeling a bit revitalized. He was an Alpine Academy member until the end of 2019, when it was the Renault Academy. And then he was dropped after he lost to Piastri. And then they've picked him back up again this year. After he won the Formula Renault Euro Cup title last year, he's now back in the academy. He's feeling like he's got that extra boost back. The help that being in the academy gives him in terms of training and physio and support, he sounded really, really enthused. So I feel like they could be another good duo to watch.
Who is your favourite to win the title?
I'm going to go with Vesti at this point, but ask me again next week.
That's a very good answer. fantastic. Thank you very much for your time, Megan. That was fantastic to look through some of the stories from the FIA F3 Championship ahead of round one this weekend. I'm sure it's going to be a fascinating battle on track. So thank you again for your time.
Thanks, Tom.
Before we go, here's what you can see right now on Autosport Plus. In keeping with the theme of today's podcast, Marcus takes a look at three-time champion Gordon Shedden's return to the BTCC, while Megan also has an in-depth preview of this weekend's opening round of the FIA Formula 3 Championship. We think it's the best motorsport racing out there, but judge for yourself with half-price access. New subscribers who sign up today can use the promo code PODCAST during checkout to save 50% off their first payment. Go to autosport.com/plus and click sign in at the top of the page, then use promo code PODCAST for the 50% discount. Thanks for listening today. We'll be back soon.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Wendy's knows cold and soggy fries are the worst.
So soggy.
That's why we're serving up hot and crispy fries all day, every day.
And all night. Until close.
With natural cut potatoes, sea salted to perfection.
Show me that potato skin.
Wendy's hot and crispy aren't like other fries. We're your dream fry. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's hot and crispy fries.
Guaranteed to be hot and crispy. If yours aren't, bring them back and we'll replace them.
Sports Social Podcast Network.